Hey everybody out there in Comic Time Glen, this is your co-host, non-co-host, co-host, otherwise I just like to call myself the co-host, Brent Cassina, back with again with another edition of BK's Bullets, live from Orlando, Florida at 1:48 a.m. So I'm on summer break now, summer camp, my job doesn't start for another 2 weeks, so basically I have time to sit here and do nothing and stick around, so I stay up real late all night watching shitty TV and rewatching JLU stuff, and I'm currently on the last season, which is kind of sad because I tore through the other season in like 2 days and there's 26 episodes on there. So yeah, I've been trying to find another job, not going very well because they all say they're hiring in a month at the beginning of June, and that's kind of fucking annoying because I'm still sitting here on my ass doing nothing. So I was like, well, I know Comic Timing has a bunch of episodes in the can, which means they're recorded, not edited. They still have stuff to do, so I was like, well, I should put out a BK's Bullets and try and get a couple of them down and, you know, just see how it goes. So, I'm really fucking bored now, so I don't know if it's just gonna be Marvel stuff or DC stuff. I'm just gonna talk about anything. I read something the other day that I got from Christmas from one of the CGS guys. On the CGS boards, they did the whole CGS Secret Santa thing. I can't remember who, it was either Clever Username or, damn it, I can't remember his name now. Anyway, it was Sea of Red, and, hold on, let me go get the trade. Alright, so I got the trade, Sea of Red, Volume 1, No Grave But the Sea, and it is written by Rick Remender, story and script, Kieran Dwyer does story and layouts, Sal Good Sam, pencils, inks, and colors, and it's published by Image. It was $8.95, it was 4 issues. And it really, I thought I was going to take forever to read this because it didn't look like it would interest me at all. And, you know, I mean, it's just indie stuff. Sometimes I like, sometimes I don't. It's kind of like a, I don't know. And the fact that I don't pick up much indie stuff kind of doesn't help either. So I found my brother was playing God of War in my room because that's where the PS2 is. So I was kind of couldn't do anything much. So I pulled out this and I was like, well, I haven't read this, so I'm going to read it and sit down and I read right through it, and it was pretty good, just that the story doesn't end here. I think it was like an 8-issue miniseries, I'm not sure. I know there's a volume 2, because I have seen it in the store. This is a horror comic, so actually, I should have read this when we did the episode with the cryptographic guys, but I didn't. So, it's about vampire pirates, basically. It starts out with this guy, and he's on the bottom of the floor, tied to one of those damsels that are on the front of the ship, made out of wood, eating fish, and he tells the story of, like, how he got down there, and that's the first issue. He's a Spaniard, like, he was, floating in the ocean on a board, kind of like Jack from Titanic at the end, but he didn't die or freeze or anything, there was no hot girl with him. And he gets picked up by the ship, and he finds out that they're creepy dudes, and they're nasty, and then later on turns out that they're vampires. And he tries to stop them when they try to take over another Spaniard ship, and they say, well, I guess you're just gonna have to sleep in the bottom of the ocean, you know, Davy Jones's locker. But this is actually after he had been bitten by one of the vampire dudes. So, since they don't tear out his heart, in this world, if you tear out someone's heart and before or during you bite them and suck their blood or whatever, they don't become a vampire because they're no longer living, so therefore they can't become undead. So this didn't happen to this guy, so basically he's been underwater for hundreds of years, and then the next issue he's discovered by one of those submersibles that James Cameron likes to use when he's making his cool undersea films, you know, after Titanic went so big. He was like, fuck movies, I'm gonna make documentaries about boring undersea shit and shoot them on IMAX film, and, you know, people will pay money to see my boring ass fucking films, and So he's discovered by one of those cruisers, and it's kind of poking fun, I guess, at James Cameron. I mean, not a real whole lot, because the movie producer or director in here doesn't even look like him. He's some fat, bald guy. He looks like Joel Silver, if you've ever seen Joel Silver on the V for Vendetta DVDs and stuff. He looks like him, so that was kind of interesting. But he's a jackass, and, you know, everybody on here is a jackass. But he says to the pilot of the big sub, it has this big glass bubble in the front, you know, like you could do, because it looks cool. Use the robot arm and grab that guy in here, because they think he's dead or whatever. But his corpse hasn't rotted like it should have. So they pull him in, and as soon as he gets in, he wreaks some havoc and bites like 2 or 3 people. People end up dead. The production assistant girl ends up a vampire. And then he tells his story of how he tells him the story of how he became a monster, or not a monster, a vampire. says, you know, I want revenge on the captain that turned me into this thing, and because he thinks that the captain eventually went to his town and maybe like raped and killed his wife and child and ate them or whatever. So they're going to find this captain, and this movie producer guy's like, this is gonna be great, this is gonna be the best film ever, this is real, and we're gonna film it and we're gonna make shitloads of money. So eventually, you know, they go back up to the big boat where the sub is housed. So the boat hits something and they have a full hull breach. So all the movie people get back in the sub and basically leave everyone else to die on the boat, which is kind of a dick thing to do. So that's the third issue. And then the fourth, I guess half of the third and fourth issue, they find the island where the vampire pirate from back in the 1600s was supposed to be hanging out at. So they go there and they find these creatures and they battle, and another guy gets turned into a vampire, and it kind of just ends there after they've... And they meet some samurai guy with a sword at the end of issue 4. And it just kind of ends there. And it's kind of like, well, that's weird, because there's nothing to say to go pick up volume 2 other than the one on the spine. There's no to be continued in volume 2 or anything like that, you know, at the end of the last written in art and lettered page or anything. So it's just kind of weird. So I guess I can take it as halfway. I don't know if I'm going to get the second one. It was okay. One thing I do like, though, is that it's called Sea of Red, and the colors, it's black, off-white, and red, basically. So there's not a whole lot of color diversity. It's black, it's red, it's maroon, or like some round or dark brown red looking thing. But it creates this atmosphere of horror and tension and stuff like that, just this red tint, like if you're shooting something with a red lens. So that's really cool about it. Also, I like the art. I don't know how to describe it. It's not rendered like Jim Lee or Ed Benes, so it's not scratchy. It's good art. I enjoyed this art by Sal Good Sam. You know, I guess who does the final art. He didn't do the layouts or anything. But, I mean, it's good. It's good representatives of people. I guess it's comparable to the stuff I've seen of the guy who does Walking Dead. Not Tony Moore, but the other guy who does it for like the last 50 some issues or whatever, and Pia Guerra on Why the Last Man. So it's good, it's expressive, it can be gross at times. You can just hear me tired. You must know it's 2 in the morning, and I got up at like 11 this morning anyway, so I'm so freaking tired. So yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, go out and check it out. If you think you're interested, certainly pick it up, because it wasn't half bad. So that was kind of surprising. So yeah, last Saturday, what's today, the 12th. So yeah, two Saturdays ago or whatever, when Iron Man opened, it was free comic book day. So I went up to the comic shop to get some free comics. And I picked up, what did I get? You're able to get 3 for free. So I was like, all right, what do I want? Well, I know I wanted the X-Men one. So I got that. And then I was looking around, and saw the DC stuff was Tiny Titans, which is for kids and doesn't interest me at all. Even though the Raging Bullets guys had a pretty funny interview with them. It just doesn't interest me. It's aimed at younger kids. That's not what I was looking for. And then I saw Hellboy free comic book. I was like, okay, done deal. So that's a full 22 pages. And then I was looking around at some other stuff. Saw the All-Star Superman number 1. I've already read that, even though I didn't buy it. I think I read it in the shop or something. I didn't want to get it because I've already read it. So I picked up the Top Cow Broken Trinity Prelude. And that was pretty good. So, the Top Cow Broken Trinity Prelude. Now, I haven't read anything by Top Cow. I did read the first volume of Witchblade with Ron Mars, and he's doing the art on X-Men, Uncanny X-Men. Oh, Mike Choi. Ah, see? It took a while, but it came to me. So I did read that first story arc with Ron Mars and Mike Choi where they battled the dragon and stuff. That was pretty good. But other than that, I have not had any exposure to Top Cow. I did watch the Witchblade TV series, and that was adorable, but that was a while ago. But this stuff, it's written by Ron Mars, and it's art by Stepjohn Sage or something. I think that's how you pronounce his name. But this computer-rendered stuff is just amazing, and, like, I don't know how this guy does it. And apparently he's supposed to be on Witchblade to, like, 150 with Ron Mars. So that might be a book worth looking into, either in trades or in issues for me. Because I just love his art. It just blows me away. This blows out anything that Howard Porter's been doing on digitally. Because it's got that 3D painted look. It's more balanced and more proportioned than any of Ariel Olivetti's stuff on Punisher War Journal. And Cable, that's for sure. I do think Mauro Cassioli over on Trials of Shazam and the upcoming Justice League title with James Robinson may be a bit better than this guy. Their styles are different, but the level of detail and stuff is the same. But I think their storytelling is different. Or that might be the writer. So the first segment is Ron Mars and Step John Sage. And it's just a reporter who's basically writing a story about all the weird shit that happens in the Top Cow universe. About the Witchblade, there's like a primer on that, how it's split between two people now, and there's someone talking about the darkness, and they mention Cyberforce, and they talk a little bit about, the Born Again miniseries, whatever, where they had the baby, the Angelus, and how it's like the bridge between the light and dark, the Witchblade, stuff like that. And then some mysterious shadow guy shows up right as she's finishing the story and putting it under a little zip drive. And he's like, "We don't want to get into this stuff. Let me just have that zip drive. I'm a friend. So he makes a phone call at the end after he smashes the zip drive. And the phone call is to Jackie, who I guess is the darkness. And it's like, yeah, I got the story. No, Sarah Pazini doesn't know you're looking over her and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting. And then the next section, the next half of the book, this is a full 22 pages, is, I'm assuming here, Michael Broussard, the new Darkness artist. Okay, Darkness Sequence by Phil Hester and Michael Broussard. So yeah, 4 pages just talking about the darkness and how it's been handed down from man to man over the generations. And, just like an ad. And then there's another Witchblade sequence where it talks about what the Witchblade actually is. The origin, how it's split between two people. And then an ad for Witchblade and the other Top Cow stuff. So, it was like a Top Cow DC Universe Zero, even though it's called Broken Trinity Prelude. And it didn't really tell me anything about the Broken Trinity series that's coming out this summer, I assume. But, it got me interested so that if I do step into a comic shop and I see this out there, I might pick some of it up. Because, I don't know, it's just a primer, so it was pretty good. So, the Hellboy Free Comic Book Day has actually 3 stories in it. The first one is a Hellboy story. It's called The Mole. It's by Mike Mignola and Duncan Fregretto. Yeah, I think I said that right. Colors by Dave Stewart. And it's just Hellboy playing cards with these ghosts. You know, he gets this really big mole on his left hand. Not the right hand of Doom. And out of the mole, it just grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And out of the mole pops, like, the demon Hellboy, I guess, if he was actually evil and stuff. And there's just some ethereal stuff, and the demon finds the right hand of Doom, remembers his name. Then Hellboy wakes up and is just like, "Oh, that's freaking weird." You know, it's a usual short Hellboy story like that, or in the trades and stuff, is enjoyable. I mean, it's free. Out of Reach is the next story, and I guess this is a BPRD story. Story by Mike Mignola and John Arcudi. Art by Guy Davis. Colors again by Dave Stewart. Guess it's Johann Kraus. He just looks like a white head with a gas mask for a mouth. I think he's in the new Hellboy 2 movie, but there he looks a bit different. But I don't know if this guy's up to some sinister stuff or not, because he wants to go on a mission and doesn't, or is told to not to go by Abe Sapien. Finds his own dead body, grabs some weird key, looks over some weird monster thing, and it just basically ends there with kind of this question hanging over your head. But the sad thing is, there's nothing to guide you to where to go after that. Like, if I like this story, this little short story here, but there's nothing at the end to guide me as where to go next to finish it. So I guess it's coming up in the next BPRD miniseries? I don't know. I have read all the Hellboy stuff. I have them all in trade. I have 1 through 7. I've not yet read Darkness Calls, but that's next on my list. I haven't read any of the BPRD stuff. I guess it's next after I catch up with Hellboy. And then the last couple pages is Bishop Olex Devil. Story by Mike Mignola and Joshua Dysart. Art by Paul Azaceta, I guess. Colors by Nick Filardi. And that's actually like a true kind of Hellboy pulp story. But it takes place in the olden days where it's Trevor Brutenholm and this other guy. And they're in a mansion and they're finding this this evil thing, and they figure it all out and get rid of it. It was just a cool short story, you know, it's like 6 pages or something. And then there's ads for all the Dark Horse stuff, you know, Conan, Star Wars, Buffy, all this other stuff. So, you know, Free Comic Book Day for those other two were pretty damn good. Got me interested in their universe. I mean, I was already reading Hellboy, but the Broken Trinity thing I was definitely surprised at. So the last thing I picked up on Free Comic Book Day, for free anyway, is the X-Men comic. Written by Mike Carey, art by Greg Land, inks by, I'm guessing, Jay Leistein. He usually inks Greg Land. Jay Leistein on inks, Justin Ponser on colors, editor Nick Lowe. So basically, this focuses on some character named Pixie. I'm not currently reading the X-Men books at the moment. I read Messiah Complex, but I'm not reading Astonishing or Uncanny or anything after that. So I don't know who this girl is. All I know is she's in the UK. She's got pink hair, pointy ears, and fairy wings. Since the X-Men are disbanded, she's living in the UK, having a miserable ass time over there. But these monsters come to find her. So these monsters called the Ngarai. I guess, I don't know if they're demons or aliens or what. They kind of look like the Brood, but a mix of the Brood and Velociraptors from Jurassic Park. They kind of have the Brood and alien head, but they're more dinosaur-like. I don't know. You just have to go pick this up and look at it to really tell what the hell it is. For some reason, they attack this small town in the UK, somewhere in the UK, don't remember exactly where, and Pixie figures them out how to defeat them, has her pixie dust and her wings and stuff, and she creates a distraction because I think they're trying to eat people. Then she pulls out this blade that says has part of her soul or something, and it rips these monsters to shreds. And then eventually a bunch of them start coming out, and they look for her, and she calls the X-Men, says, "I know the school is disbanded, but I need help over here," and the X-Men show up. It's Beast, Nightcrawler, Wolverine, Cyclops, Emma Frost, and Colossus. And they show up, and basically there's a big battle, lots of cool fight scenes, and Colossus, and then they have to shut down the portal where these things are coming through, so that's in a mine somewhere. And they do that rather quickly, and then Cyclops says, "Hey, we're starting up the X-Men again, the school's back up, you're welcome to come back, you still got your scholarship, let's go." So the last page, and I guess this is a spoiler, is of them in San Francisco and the Blackbird over the Golden Gate Bridge, and Pixie's flying happiest ever. Because being an X-Men is the happiest thing ever in her life. So I guess the X-Men are moving to San Fran, home of the hippies, which I guess they are now, right? So actually, that was pretty good. The Greg Land art was actually really good. I'm kind of torn on Greg Land. This stuff didn't seem quite as posed, and there's no way to put this nicely, copied as some of his other stuff, like, you know, some moments in Ultimate Fantastic Four and Ultimate Power just kind of felt a little stiff. But surprisingly, this actually doesn't feel stiff. This feels more on par with his work on Sojourn, which is, I have the first 15 issues of that. If I get the time, I'll reread those and do those again for you guys. Because those are really good. That's some really good stuff there from CrossGen. So go check those out if you haven't. But yeah, it seems up to par with that stuff, and it's exciting and energetic and detailed, just like Greg Land usually is, and I guess that's the draw to him, but it doesn't have that stiff feeling or quality to it, which is actually kind of surprising, and because of that, it's actually kind of interesting me in checking out what he's going to be doing on Uncanny X-Men when him and, I guess, Terry Dodson start rotating on art, on arcs, starting as of Uncanny 500, I think it is. So I may check those out and trade or whatever. I mean, because usually I just stay away from the X-Men just because it's, I don't know, it's too complicated for me, or I just don't care. I mean, I don't know. I watched the cartoon and I liked X-Men Evolution. That was really cool. And I had those comics for a while. And those were done by Udon, but I got rid of those. So yeah, that's what I got from Free Comic Book Day. So thanks for listening to my little segment about everything and nothing about Free Comic Book Day. And I hope to see you guys again next time. And stay tuned for Comic Timing for some good stuff coming up. We got our 2-year anniversary show coming up. I think it's the next one. We also got an interview with the two guys that run Heroes Corner. And we also have an interview or a discussion with the guys from Codename Power, who you heard on the MegaCon episodes, about, you know, comic book theory and how it goes from an idea to a story and what makes a good comic book. So all three of those episodes are pretty good. The 4-year anniversary one was long. I remember doing that. We still didn't get to everybody's questions through that, just because the whole time we were talking, you know, there's some guest appearances from some old hosts and stuff. Just, it was a good time. So that's a little more on the silly side, but after that, we get straight to some awesome Comic Timing business. So I hope you guys enjoy that. All right, so I'll check you guys out later. Bye.